Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, the former Nevada Democratic Party Chair, Jill Derby, plus on the Power Pundit panel, James Smack, Fred Locken, and Howard Rosenberg. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature Build Your Own Bloody Mary Bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Jill Derby. She is the former Nevada Democratic chair and also a cultural anthropologist. Pleasure to have you back on the program. We're going to do a couple of different shows with you, and I wanted to do this one on what's going on in the Middle East, what's going on in Aleppo, and America's response to all of this, because it seems like the president made a decision that he was not going to go into a third war that could likely end up as it ended up in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Well, there's a lot I could say about all of that, Sam.
And you have the time.
Yeah, it's very tough to listen and watch what's going on out of Aleppo and Syria. I mean, it's really heartbreaking. You know, I haven't been in Syria for maybe 5 years, but it was a very developed, a lot of educated people, big professional class, a very modern place. And these people that now are losing everything, walking away from their homes, and it seems as though the world doesn't care. I think that's the hardest part for me, because I've been there. I know these are just people like you and me and great people. And it just feels like it's a humanitarian cataclysm, and nobody is reacting to it. Certainly, we haven't. I mean, President Obama, and as much as I'm very supportive and think he's been a terrific president, and we'll miss him with all his grace and dignity in office, I think he made a big mistake in that whole red line thing. We could have done something early on. It's too late now. And I appreciate that the different groups that we have been looking to support in Syria, we just couldn't feel confident about them or get them together. And that was a major problem. But in fact, we could have taken out Assad's air force. We could have done some things that could have shifted the balance of it. Instead of that, one of the things that's most worrying, and we're hearing in a lot of the thought leaders and their writings, is America seems to have ceded its position of international leadership, not only in this part of the world, but it seems because we have here, there's questions all around the world about, can you count on America? And I think one of the things that's hardest for me is the values that our nation has always represented to the world, and something that has been tremendously attractive to nations, most nations, certainly the democracies around the world, we've just not stood for and allowed what's happened in Syria to just unfold because we didn't want to get involved. And I appreciate the political cost. I appreciate that the majority of American people don't want to get involved because of what happened in Iraq, which was such a disaster that it has really, it's influenced everything since in foreign policy.
And is there, you know, beyond World War II and perhaps the Korean War, has there been a time since then when American invasion of another country has been successful?
Well, I don't know. Did it work in Grenada or some of these minor places we've gone in? No. So I totally understand that sentiment. But there's a point at where a humanitarian disaster is happening and a ruthless dictator is killing his own people. It felt as though America needed to take a stand. And, you know, we had other voices in the political realm, certainly McCain, certainly Hillary Clinton, that would have done something. And it isn't as though... I mean, we could have, for instance, taken out the Air Force. How much cost would that have been in terms of, you know, our own personnel? Not so much. Establishing a safe zone, harder, but we had a chance to do that. And it would have tipped the balance in terms of what's played out. Instead of that, we've just sort of handed a huge influence to Russia. And they're as ruthless, frankly, as Assad is in terms of this horrendous record of bombing hospitals and cluster bombing, which Syria has done, not Russia. But they're right in the middle of that. And for us to be silent feels as though we've not stood for the values we've always stood for in the world.
But then you look back at Rwanda, and we had absolutely obliteration there of a population, and we did nothing.
Well, and I believe that there's been great regret around doing nothing around Rwanda. I think I've heard that. I believe it was President Clinton who could have done something in Rwanda and didn't, and regards it as something he looks back on with deep regret. So I don't know. Maybe it's because, you know, I'm a cultural anthropologist. Maybe it's because America's quite isolated in the world, really. We have two big oceans on either side of us. Americans travel less than so many other of the developed country citizens. If you look at the number of passports we have versus others, et cetera, et cetera. When you travel, we tend to go maybe Canada or Mexico, maybe a bit to Western Europe too. But we tend to be very insular in terms of our knowledge of the world, our interest in being engaged in the world. But at the time where this whole phenomenon of globalization has happened, it's not a time to not be engaged in the world. But it's hard to sell Americans on that. We're very focused on consumerism and our own lives.
You know, it's very interesting because when Americans do travel abroad, and they come across CNN International, and they suddenly go, where did this channel come from? This is nothing like CNN in the United States.
Isn't that true? I love when I'm traveling, and you know I'm over in Europe and the Middle East a fair amount. I love to turn on even the Iranian, I can't say the name of it, but they're a TV channel, and listen to what they're listening. But CNN International is always interesting, and people are surprised by it. I mean, we live in a very, just an insulated bubble, and don't pay much attention to the rest of the world. And when we do, it's often not very accurate because of our lack of understanding of so many of the international issues. You know, the fear over terrorism. Oh, my goodness. You know, look at how little has happened here versus what's happened in Europe and other parts of the world. I have to just say that I heard Donald Trump say that they're killing Christians. The truth is ISIS has killed far more Muslims than they've killed Christians. But people in America don't have a context, sort of a broader portfolio of thinking about things like that to be able to vet them in their own minds.
All right, let's take a break. More with Jill Derby when we come back.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Jill Derby. She's the former Nevada Democratic Party chair. So your thoughts, we haven't had a chance to talk post-election. It seems like the Democrats really have a lot of work to do as regards the Electoral College. And there's a lot of people talking now because of the popular vote that Hillary Clinton, that we should get rid of the Electoral College, but that would be a disaster for Nevada. So what do the Democrats have to do that in the states that they don't have a Reed machine?
Well, you know, there's a lot of work to do. I think a lot of analysis. One of the positive aspects of losing is having to look at, okay, where we fell down. And the truth is, it seems ironic to me that Democrats have always had a message that is directed to the working class in America. We always have supported unions and, you know, the right to organize and raising minimum wages. And also, I mean, labor has always been our friend and we've worked closely with them. So how is it that this group of people, working class Americans, didn't go along with the Democratic message? Well, a lot of analysis says we didn't get the message out good enough. We've sort of moved in a different direction. And even though that we understand that and we think we should have appeal out of that, we haven't really portrayed that. That's one thing. But, you know, there's so many other issues in this election that, to try to sort out. And certainly the issue of a racism comes into it, the feelings of so many working class white Americans that they're being shut out by the growth of ethnic minorities across the nation. We know that in a few decades, America will not be a white dominant nation, but will have minorities dominant, Hispanics, African-American, whatever.
Asians,
absolutely. Asians are a big growing group. So as a result of that, you know, there was fear and threat out of there. So it's hard when you try to parse it and see what factor weighed in the most. But clearly the area I could speak to is the fact that Democrats have always cared about working Americans. And Republicans, really, I would argue, that hasn't been their primary concern. They've been more concerned with people at the top, tax breaks for people at the very top, generous corporate sort of tax arrangements and so forth. So how could it happen that this working class didn't realize it? So there were just other factors that went into it. And I have to say, even, you know, that Hillary Clinton and her candidacy certainly been faulted. There was certainly a certain degree of sexism. America not ready. So many Americans not ready for a woman as president. And of course,
that's interesting you bring that up, because I didn't think that that was a part of the mix at all. That just didn't strike me.
Oh, I think it was very much a part of the mix. You might not have thought it was part of the mix, because if you said to people who were not supporting Hillary Clinton that you think would have, because of all the issues, you know, they care about more progressive kind of issues, they would never say anything about her being a woman. But it would be like maybe code, and they would something say, well, I just don't like her, or I just don't trust her. And it was hard to know exactly what that meant. So I think that, honestly, Sam, that was a factor. I think it'd be impossible to measure. People aren't up front with that. I never heard anybody say that. But clearly it was an underlying current, just as racism was as well. Donald Trump played those cards, actually.
And in a way, do you think that Donald Trump was really not the conservative candidate, but more the candidate that was just speaking directly with a message to those people that you're referring to?
I think you're dead right. And I think that it has been the hope of Democrats that he'd sort of come back to the way his political thinking of a decade or two ago. But the reason I worry that that won't happen, if you look at his appointees, you know, one of the things about Donald Trump is he's obviously a smart businessman and a great showman, knows how to communicate and how to really grab the communication, Twitter and et cetera, and get people's attention. But I don't think he's smart in another way, sort of a deep thinker. I mean, he's a man who doesn't read. I'm afraid of people who don't read, because there's so much to know about history and the wider context. You know, to make decisions, you need a bigger context to think about it, to weigh. I don't think he has that capacity, and I don't think he would even claim it.
I believe Eisenhower was the same way, that he didn't like to read. He liked to have somebody come in and brief him but he wasn't going to sit down and pore over papers, as against other people that we're familiar with, like Jimmy Carter, for example, who pored over such detail to the extent that it ruined his presidency.
Well, those are two extremes, aren't they, Sam? And certainly there's something in the middle where you're interested enough of other people's thinking and thought leaders and so forth that you read. So what would I say about Eisenhower? He's a military man. It was a different time in the country, wasn't it? And I think that's not a very good comparison with everybody that has followed. I think are people who've read, and I'm use that as not just sort of reading books, but as somebody who wants to have a broader way of thinking about things by hearing other people's opinions.
I've got about 15 seconds left. Do you think it might have been a different story if Bernie Sanders had been the candidate of the superdelegates at fault, in the sense that it was always going to be Hillary?
I think it could be, but it's hard to look back. The truth is the Republicans had opposition research on Bernie Sanders that was poison. And a lot of us, you know, I thought at times I think Bernie could have won. It would have been a tougher race, and I don't know.
And that's where we have to leave it. Jill Derby, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Always a pleasure to see you.
Thank you.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management, training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, James Smack is here, the former Nevada Republican National Committeeman, Fred Locken, Professor of Political Science at Truckee Meadows Community College, and Howard Rosenberg, who needs no introduction. So, Howard, I wanted to ask you, from a theatrical point of view, and somebody coming from the East Coast and from burlesque and entertainment, as you watch Donald Trump, what does he say to you in terms of those areas?
Donald Trump is probably one of the best showmen I've seen in a long time. He's P.T. Barnum, but the man has a brain. Don't underestimate him for even a second. He knows precisely what he's doing, and he knows exactly how he's going to go about doing it. I don't know whether that'll be good or bad, but he is elected. Now let's give him a chance.
All right, but are there theatrical figures that you can compare him to?
P.T. Barnum.
Okay. For those that are not of a certain age.
They can go look it up.
Who's P.T. Barnum?
Them. Circus. I mean, all of life is either a mausoleum or a circus. It's somewhere along the continuum. All right? He likes to do the broad show, and he's good at it. He's made a great deal of money, and he's lost a great deal of money. I don't like some of the people that he's appointing, but then I don't really know these people. All I know is what I hear on the media, which isn't the most dependable source to get your information these days. So I think that Donald Trump is smart enough to recognize when he needs to rein it in and smart enough to recognize when he can go broad. Let's see what happens.
Okay, James, take it from there.
Well, I would concur with most what Howard had to say as far as that goes. I think that Donald Trump is a master of communication and getting his message across. It may not be politically correct. It may not be the way we're used to hearing it from other politicians, but the man is not a politician. The man is a businessman. The man is and is an expert in communications. And his message resonated, especially among folks that felt like they were forgotten during the election. Namely, union voters in Ohio, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, even Minnesota to a certain extent, they went either for Trump or he improved the number versus what Romney put together in 2012, and that was the difference in this election. He recognized he recognized an opportunity, he took advantage of it, and he spoke to those folks in language they could understand.
Fred, from your poise, which is arms folded here, it's almost a protective position. Your thoughts, especially when James said Wisconsin.
Well, I know. I am just shocked. I've been in higher education as a faculty member for 35 years. And I've always told my students that we're going in the wrong direction in terms of the quality of leadership in politics. We don't attract the best and the brightest. And I would argue that Donald Trump more or less demonstrates the point I've been making for the 35 years I've taught. I find him to be an embarrassment. I think this is not what the American political process is about. But I think I always have this pristine notion that it's better than it actually is. Under the circumstances, we still don't know who we elected. I honestly don't know if we elected the candidate, or if we've elected the guy in transition, or if we've elected the guy that was on the Access Hollywood tape. And we probably elected all three, which is why I'm not very optimistic about the future of that presidency.
I will say this. I don't think anyone in the world was more amazed at the outcome of the election than Donald Trump was. I really don't think he thought for an instant that he had a chance at it, so he could say anything he wanted to say the way he wanted to say it. And unfortunately, I don't think that he won the election so much as Mrs. Clinton lost the election.
Precisely.
I'll concur with that.
Bad candidates. That's the problem. I mean, what kind of choice were voters given in this process, much less what has absolutely surprised me? Romney was honest before the convention. He went out there, and I think he described the Donald Trump that I see. And yet I see now everybody coalescing around this guy that was described by Mitt Romney. And I would think that we would have better standards in our life. Give him a chance. But I think we got the guy that we elected, and it's going to be an interesting ride.
Just a quick disagreement with Howard on one point. I was watching MSNBC when it came across that Trump was going to win the presidency, and I think they were a little bit more surprised than Donald Trump was.
Howard, you know, you were the most unlikely politician. You've been in education all of your life, and then you decided to run for the Board of Regents. You did so against a candidate that had $85,000 to spend in the campaign. And this is a long time ago, so that was a lot of money. You had, I believe, about $14,500, and you mortgaged the house to do it. And
it was $29.95.
but that really is the truth.
Yes. And
so you came from a background of not being in politics to being in politics, whether you liked it or not. What is Donald Trump going to experience that you experienced?
He's going to learn that he needs to, at times, keep quiet. It's the hardest thing in the world to learn, but you learn to listen. And once you learn to listen, you can say to yourself, this is not the time, this is not the place. Most of people don't understand politics is a shared situation. You're never all alone. There are people around you that you have to consider as well. What are the ramifications of what I'm apt to say? I've never had to worry about that. Sam, I could say anything I damn well pleased, whenever I wanted, wherever I wanted, to whomever I wanted.
And you, without the foul language, were more Trumpian than almost anybody.
Very definitely.
We're going to have you back on another show here real soon. Thank you all very much.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
On our next broadcast, Ty Cobb, former Special Assistant to President Reagan for National Security Affairs. We'll see you next.